They were a young couple. And every year of their marriage, they did something that every single Israelite planned or hoped to do at least one time in their life. And that's to celebrate the Passover in the holy city of Jerusalem. This particular year, this young couple's son was turning 12, the coming of age, old enough to celebrate the Passover for the first time. So he comes with them on their journey to Jerusalem, and they have an incredible week celebrating the God who saves, celebrating and remembering the God who leads his people out of slavery, the God who loves his people, the God who has promised to send a Savior to his people. After an awesome week, there are thousands of Israelites all gathered in the city of Jerusalem. They're all heading back to their hometowns. So this young couple, Mary and Joseph, they start to head back to Nazareth with their relatives, with their friends who have made the trip also. Mary, she's in the front of the pack with the other women, and she thinks Jesus is back with Joseph. Where else would he be, right? Joseph, he's in the back. He's with the other guys. He thinks Jesus is up with Mary. Where else would he be? You guys know the story. I picture that scene in Home Alone where they're in the van and they're doing the head count, right? And they mistake the neighbor kid for Kevin. And there's that moment of panic as they realize Jesus is not with them. They've been traveling for a full day. So in their panic, in this stressful moment, they head back to Jerusalem. And once they get back there, it takes them 3 days. 3 days. If you have kids, imagine being without your kid for 3 days, lost. Imagine losing your phone for 3 days, let alone your kid, right? 3 days. And you and I, whenever we hear this story, or at least that personally whenever I hear it, I think of like they're looking for God, which is kind of wild to think about. They're looking for the Savior of the world. And they knew that Jesus is special. They know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. But think about it. We celebrated Christmas, what, 2 weeks ago? However long ago that was, 2 weeks? It's been 12 years since the angels appeared to them in visions and dreams. It's been 12 years since they made the trip to Bethlehem. It's been 12 years since they spent the night in that stable and the angels show up singing and the shepherds come and the wise men come bringing gifts. It's been 12 years. And over those 12 long years, they've been raising the Son of God, yes. But they've also just been raising their son. And they can't find their son. They're looking, they're trying to find God, but to them, they're just trying to find Jesus. They're just trying to find their son. Finding Jesus. That's the name of our sermon today. And you have probably heard that phrase quite a bit, finding Jesus, or something similar to that. You've probably heard people use that expression, finding Jesus, maybe talking personally, maybe anecdotally, talking about a moment where they found Jesus. Has anybody heard somebody speak like that? Maybe you've used that phrase before. Finding Jesus. Usually whenever we hear it, it's somebody talking about some sort of conversion experience. After somebody's gone through this mountaintop high, incredible, life-changing, monumentous moment that changes them for the rest of their lives. And through it, they come to know the Lord. Or on the other end, somebody has just gone through the valley low, Somebody's just gone through tragedy, trauma, heartbreaking things that changes them, but somehow through it, they came to know the comfort and the grace and the love of God in Jesus. I like to call it a red dirt road kind of Jesus. Anybody familiar with this song, Red Dirt Road by Brooks and Dunn? Any country music fans out there? Yeah? That's good. In this song, this is not their actual album cover or anything. I just found a picture of a road and I found a Western font. So, you know, I think it turned out okay. This song, Red Dirt Road, Brooks and Dunn are kind of reflecting on this nostalgic spot in their history. It's on this red dirt road that they experienced a lot of things. They learned a lot of things. They took this red dirt road to and from church every Sunday morning. It's on this red dirt road that they drank their first beer, according to the song. It's on this red dirt road that they crashed their first car. And maybe those two things are related, I'm not sure. But it's on this red dirt road that they found Jesus. So the lyrics go. That's what I mean by a red dirt road kind of finding Jesus. It's something that's very personal. It's an experience that shakes you, that changes you. It's something tangible. And so we hear that phrase. I went through this experience and I found Jesus. I was on the red dirt road and I found Jesus. Now, I don't want to discredit the fact that we see God at work in every moment of our lives. As one of the kids said, we know that Jesus is there because Jesus is everywhere. But as Lutherans, in our Lutheran tradition, we're usually a little more cautious, a little more hesitant to use the phrase finding Jesus when we speak about our faith experience. And there's a few reasons for that, why we're cautious to talk about how we have found God in some sort of way. And the few reasons for that are, one, we like to overemphasize the fact that you and me are not responsible for our salvation. Lutherans really hammer that home. We do not do anything to earn ourselves into heaven. The fact that we have the forgiveness of sins, the fact that we have the promise of salvation, the fact that we are going to be raised from the dead and spend eternity with Jesus in the new heaven and new earth, all of that is determined by what God has done. That's why we like to sing Amazing Grace, because we are lost. And we've been found. Amen? Amen. Right. So that's kind of the first more obvious reason. We don't talk about finding Jesus as much. But another more subtle reason is because the red dirt road kind of Jesus is one that comes with maybe a little less certainty. It's one that causes us to question. If Brooks and Dunn want to encounter Jesus again, will they meet him again on that little red dirt road? Or do they need to take a different road? Or if they never took that little red dirt road in the first place, would they ever have met Jesus? If I went through this mountaintop, crazy, life-changing experience and found Jesus, when will I encounter him again? Will I have to go through something just as incredible and life-changing and awe-inspiring? If I went through the tragedy, the trauma, the valley low, will I have to go through something that horrible again to find Jesus? Or maybe you don't have a story like that at all. What if you've never experienced the life-changing moments? What if you don't have a red dirt road moment What if you can't look at the calendar and say, on this day, at this time, that's when I found Jesus? What if you don't have that? You see how there's a lot of questions. There's some uncertainty there. And as Lutherans, we like certainty about certain things. Yes, there are the mysteries of God, things that we acknowledge we cannot know, and we probably shouldn't even try to know. But the things that God has revealed to us, mainly the things concerning our salvation and the forgiveness of our sins and how God works, you do not have to guess about those things. You do not have to guess where to find Jesus. So that begs the million-dollar question, right? Where do we find Jesus? After 3 days of searching for their son, finally, Mary and Joseph see Jesus in the city of Jerusalem. They find him. And he's doing what all 12-year-olds do, right? He's participating in deep theological debate and discussion with the scribes and the religious leaders of the town, right? Doing his thing. And they run up to Jesus. I'm sure they embrace him. I imagine them giving him a hug and a kiss. And after the panic has settled, Mary looks at Jesus, still kind of frustrated. You can sense it in her, the way the dialogue happens. She says, Jesus, how could you do this to us? Don't you know how worried we were? We were worried sick, looking all over for you. And sweet, innocent Jesus looks at his parents. He says, where did you expect to find me? Where'd you think I'd be? Here's what he says. Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? I think it's funny that the text tells us that Mary and Joseph were a little confused by this response from Jesus. They didn't quite understand it. And there's probably several reasons for that. But there is still some ambiguity today in this response. And the reason I say that is because this translation, this is the NIV, and this translates it, I had to be in my Father's house. Now, the reason that's kind of ambiguous is because the word house is actually not in the Greek text. Jesus just says, you can find me in and among the things of my Father. So the translators interpret it, I had to be in my Father's house. Here's another translation, the King James Version. It says, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? That's how they translate it. So either way, it's clear that Jesus, it can be found doing the things of his Father, doing his Father's business. I like that translation. Jesus can be found doing the will of the one who sent him, doing the business of his Father. Where can we find Jesus? Twenty years after this little event takes place, give or take 20 years, Jesus completely fulfills and accomplishes his Father's business. And he does it by once again making a trip to Jerusalem. Be his last trip to Jerusalem. And it just so happens that it's during the time of the Passover, celebrating the Passover. And once again, Jesus would go missing for 3 days. Of Of course, everybody knew exactly where he was. Everybody had seen him get beat up and tortured and spit on and hung on a cross. Everybody had seen him die. But there he is, hidden in the ground for 3 days. And on that third day, Jesus is found, just like when he was a kid. And he's found alive. And he's found having accomplished and fulfilled his Father's business. He's found having completely defeated death, having atoned for all of your and my sins, having accomplished our salvation for us, having accomplished the salvation for the entire world, the whole world. Flash forward about 2,000 more years to the year 2026. Where can Jesus be found? Doing his Father's business. Every time we come here as God's people and we hear God's word proclaimed and spoken and read aloud, Jesus can be found. Every time we come here as God's people and we partake, we receive the body and the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus can be found. I know over the last several weeks, you guys have heard me and Pastor Matt talk over and over about the things we do in our worship service and about how they are not accidental. The things we do here are not guesses. The things we do are a reception of the business of the Father, a reception of the gospel, the reception of the love of God in Christ Jesus. And whenever we say that, we're not talking about just this building around us. We're talking about this, the body of Christ. Because when you guys leave here and you proclaim the truth to people, and you proclaim the gospel to people, Jesus can be found doing his business. And whenever you forgive each other's sins in the name of Jesus, he can be found doing his business. Whenever you gather as a family on your daily devotions or your Bible study groups, being fed by the word of God, Jesus can be found. We do not have to guess. We do not have to doubt. There is no uncertainty. Jesus is among us, continuing to do the business of the one who sent him. And I pray that that certainty keeps your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.